Welcome to the ministry of Harvest Life Church. We pray that this message would help harvest the life God has for you.
Today we continue our series we started last week on last day's messages. Important things that you and I need to understand. And last week we mostly talked about this scripture out of Matthew 24, verse 12. Listen to it. And he says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Jesus said, one of the things that will happen in the last of the last days is the love of not all, right? Not even most, but the love of many will grow cold. In other words, that as we move to the coming of the Lord, that there will be those who will get distracted, that there will be those who will be discouraged, that there will be those who will lose their energy because they're divided into so many different areas. And we talked about that this last week. And this is not a day that we can lose our strength. Can I hear a good amen? And then verse 13 says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen. Shall be saved. Now, Matthew 24, 14, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nation. Watch it. And then, right? Then, everybody say then. Do we have Matthew 24, 14 up there? Come on, read it along with me. Let's all read it out loud in unison. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then will the end come. Matthew 24, 14. Now, the reason for this set of messages, a few months back, that old scripture, I believe it's found in Chronicles, and it talks about the sons of Issachar. Do you remember that? He talks about the sons of Issachar, and this is what it says about the sons of Issachar. Listen to it. He said, the sons of Issachar understood the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. Amen? They understood the times, and they knew what Israel ought to do. And what the world needs today is the people of God to understand the times that we're in so that we can know what we should do. Amen? Next week, I'm going to be doing a series of two messages. It's actually part of the same thought, last day's messages, but the last two are going to be called Living with the Horses or Running with the Horses. What horses? I'm talking about the four horses of the apocalypse. How do you live in the last day? How do you live with the four horses of the apocalypse, right, in the earth or about to descend on the earth? How do you live in those times? Some people think that we should, you know, go camp out and go under a bush and cry and you know what I'm saying, and load up on, you know, ammunition and this isn't Montana, this is Idaho, right? Yeah. No, that's not what Jesus said to do. That's not the message. Amen. That's not the message. But there are some messages, right? There are messages that God has for us. And the first message that we talked about, of course, is that we have to keep our heart from growing cold. That we have to keep our heart from going cold. Matthew 24, 12 and 13, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. And we ended last week with Luke 21, verse 28. Listen to it. When these things begin to take place, stand up. Come on. Lift up your heads because your redemption draws nigh. That's supposed to be the spirit that we have. That's supposed to be the heart. Come on, say it with me. Say, stand up. Stand up. Come on, say it like you mean. Say, stand up. Stand up. Amen. Lift up your heads. Right? And rejoice because your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. We are encouraged. I ran out of time last week with this thought, but we are encouraged because, number one, we were made for eternity. Amen. Amen? The Bible says that the day is coming when he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. When he who sits on the throne will say, behold, I make all things new. We are passing through this earth. We are pilgrims just passing through. Yes, God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing. Yes, God has dreams and aspirations for your life while you live here. But we have to live with those two focuses in our life. We're going to occupy till he comes, but we need to be ready when he comes. Because we don't know whether we're going to be here when he actually physically comes to get us, or if we are going to die beforehand and he's going to come and get us personally. He won't come and step down on the earth yet, but he's going to come and get us. How many know the end is near for all of us? Amen? That's why they preach that message. That's why it's so important that you and I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, because he's coming. He's coming. The signs of the times are all around us. And if he doesn't come in my lifetime, he's still coming soon for me. It's much sooner than we think. Amen. It's much sooner than we think. And so you and I need to recognize that we were made for eternity. Number two, we're not going to suffer the wrath of God. So that's why we should be encouraged. That's why we can lift up our heads. That's why we can rejoice. You and I are not going to suffer the wrath of God. Amen. Jesus is not on the throne of wrath. He is on the throne of grace. Come on, somebody. And those who have received the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will not suffer the wrath of God. Now, that does not mean that there won't be types of tribulation and pressure and stuff that we'll have to go through, but we will not go through the wrath of God. Listen to how Paul said it in Thessalonians. Now, brothers and sisters, about the dates and times, we don't need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And while people are saying peace and safety, it says destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Watch. You are the children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night, nor do we belong to the darkness. That's good news. And so then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith. Come on, say faith. Putting on love, come on, say love, as a breastplate, and putting on hope, say hope, the hope of salvation as a helmet, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. That's good news in the last days for believers. Amen. We don't have wrath coming to us. Amen. He did not appoint us to wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another with these words, just as in fact you are so doing. And number three, we're at the door of we're at the doorstep of a great, great revival. We're at the doorstep of a great, great revival. You see, that's one of the things that the Bible talks about, that while there's darkness upon the earth, that the light is going to rise upon God's people in such a pronounced way, right? We've talked about these kind of days, and our country hasn't had these kind of days for a while. But these kind of days are nothing new to the world, and they should be nothing new to us who know the teaching of the Scripture. Amen? But it's in the midst of chaos and in the midst of calamity, in the midst of trouble, that people become open to the gospel of Jesus Christ as never before. For his name is the only name under heaven by which we may be saved. Can you say amen to that, family? And so Matthew 24:14 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations, and then the end will come. So we are in a place where I personally, don't say thus saith the Lord to this, if someday you attend my funeral 60, 70, 80 years from now. I'm very young, amen. All right, and you say, Pastor said this is going to happen. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I believe we're in the last of the last days, and the Bible teaches that the greatest harvest is going to be the final harvest, and I believe that's the place that we are in. Amen? That's the place that we are in. He says, this gospel. Now, when we look at the word gospel, and this is what I want to really get through to you today. Because sometimes we look at the last days like we're just kind of going to go through it. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's just kind of like a ride. You just got to get on and you just got to trust in God. But did you know that Jesus has connected to the last days and the last days revival to the last days people who will be a part of that revival? And if we know anything about the Lord does nothing from Genesis to the end without his people. So the attitude and the heart and the mindset of the people, the messengers of the gospel, is of great significance. And as I studied that word gospel these last few weeks, it's interesting because we all know it means good news. And the Greek word is euangelion. Euangelion. And it's actually two words, eu and angelion put together. And what it literally means is it is a good message, you. It comes from the EU. It comes from, it's where we get the word eulogy, to eulogize. You know what it is to do a eulogy? It is to say the good about somebody. It's to say the good about somebody, right? So it's a good message, right? But then that second word, right? That second word, angelion, is where we also get the word angel. So it's not just a good message. Listen to it. It's a good messenger. The gospel, and as a matter of fact, sometimes it's translated one way or the other, but it's actually a very special word that's used in the New Testament, primarily in the New Testament, and it combines these thoughts together into one new covenant word that involves the good message with the good messenger. A good message with a good messenger. And Isaiah prophesied this day. He prophesied it, right? He prophesied it. Isaiah 52, verse 7. I want you to look up here with me. Isaiah 52, verse 7. Look at what it says. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, thy Lord, right, your God reigns. And what's interesting, and I think we need to understand this, is Jesus taught us, and I want you to really pay attention to this, that the problem is not with the harvest. Amen. The greatest challenge of these last days is not with the harvest, right? The problem is a labor shortage. The need is great, but good laborers are missing. The need is great, but good laborers are missing. Listen to it. Luke 10, verse 2. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So what do we do about that? So ask the Lord of the harvest to send for workers into his field. And I want you to know that I have found in my dealings as I go around, people who are not involved with God, people who are not involved in church for the first time in many, many years are beginning to open about the things of God and what we need. They're ready for a good message, but they're ready for it to come from good messengers. Amen? They're open now in a way they haven't been. They would receive our prayers if we would just ask them if we can pray for them. They would receive our food because they're hungry if we would just feed them. Amen? They would receive the hope if we offer it. And we are to ask God for laborers. Amen. We're to ask God for laborers. Now, I really want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 real quick. Those of you who brought your Bibles, turn there with me. And I'm going to have it up on the screen for the rest of us. But I really think it's important that we understand this today. Because I think a good messenger means a couple things. Doesn't mean a perfect person, but it means a person, like Pastor Sherry said, who is humble and is seeking to represent Jesus well. Amen? And as we grow in our faith, how many recognize in order to represent him well, we have to let go of certain ideas. We have to let go of certain preferences for more important things. And it's important that we're trying not to be baby Christians for the rest of our life. Have you ever met Christians like that? This is no time for those kind of Christians in the last days. You know the kind I'm talking about. The kind that come in and have an experience with the Lord, but still want the lordship of their life, the rest of their life. Amen? You may have a good message, but it is going to be hard to be a good messenger if you're not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not surrendering to him. Amen? So it's both those things together. It's a good message, but it's also a developing messenger. Amen? Somebody who's willing to go out and share it, because God's not going to do it through angels. He does it through you and I. And then that brings up another point, doesn't it? To be a good messenger, it takes a good message. It takes someone who's pursuing that message themselves. Although the name of Jesus is so powerful. Come on, somebody. The name of Jesus is so powerful. It's amazing. It's amazing what you can do with the name of Jesus when you're not fully committed. Amen. Because his name is more powerful than you. Amen. But you know what? The best way that it goes forth is through somebody who has their own story, a living story of a living God who's working in them, correcting them, adjusting them, aiming them, and they become a reflection of his love. Have you ever just met somebody and it's like you just, you know, there was just something about them that was so loving, so kind, so Christ-like that it melted all resistance in your heart, right? To be the kind of believer. But I want you to understand something. There's another thing that keeps us from being this. Because we think that God is going to send a revival and the preacher's going to get real good and church is going to get so good that the preacher and the Holy Spirit is going to bring everybody into the church, right? And we're going to have this great revival because all of our churches are going to be filled. I'm believing for a revival that gets out of the four walls of the church. Come on, somebody. And happens at work. Come on. Happens on the job. Happens on the plane. Happens on the train. Because we've relegated that's pastor's job. And some of you are getting the idea that, you know, you got to be a white suit evangelist. And you said, well, I'm just not called to that. I recognize that. But the job of the fivefold ministry is to prepare you to do the ministry, right? To do the family business, right? To do the family business. What's the family business? Luke 19, verse 10. Listen to it. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Is you do the family business. All believers do the family business. And today I'm going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to help you learn how to do it. But I need you to understand that this is a part of the will of God for your life. Yes, you may be called to the back row. Yes, you may be called to the backstage, right? You're more the technical person. You're more the behind the scenes. You're more the organizer. You don't want to get up and talk to people. I get that. But you're a part of the message. And you are a messenger, whether you ever stand on a stage to do it. Because look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 9. God is faithful, listen, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his, not just fellowship, the fellowship. The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I want you to know of all the languages that word koinonia, is translated into. English is one of the feeblest. I don't know what it says in Spanish there when it says that you've been called into the fellowship of his son. But that word is koinonia. And we celebrate it when we take the Holy Communion, that through the blood and body of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have an inseparable union with the living God. We are a part of redemption. But it doesn't just mean fellowship to be able to dwell with. It also means partnership together with. There's a oneness where he and you become one, and you literally are a partner. You are a part of what is the will of God? That you would be in fellowship and partnership with his son, Jesus Christ. That is the will of God. And I'm here to tell you that whether you knew it or not, whether anybody ever told you or not, one of the great unpreached messages of the New Testament is that it's you and I, the everyday, ordinary believers. The Bible says they went everywhere telling them of the good things that God had done for them. They went everywhere telling the good things that God had done for them. Telling the good things that God had done for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Go ahead and be still for just a minute, guys. So how do you and I become a partner in the family business? Number one, write this down. Number one, it's really easy. We accept the responsibility. That there are people in my world who will not know God except through me. And I am responsible to walk with God every day, to be in his word every day, to walk in the Spirit every day, because we never know when we're going to meet someone who needs the Lord. You're a part of God's plan. Romans 10 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go to them without being sent? This is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. People are opening up, family. They're opening up. They're opening up. And we need to make sure that our mouth is filled with the most important message. Amen. Number two, listen to this. Develop a personal relationship. Develop a personal relationship. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We all know the statement. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Jesus never corrected before he connected. He never corrected before he connected. And too often the church has gone to the world with finger wagging religion. We've come across in that way, right? But they need to know that we care. It's about a relationship. If you want a personal relationship with people, then you've got to stop fighting with them over what you disagree about. Less important things. If you want a personal relationship with people, you got to stop fighting. I love it how it says in 2 Timothy, this is out of the Amplified Classic. But refuse. That means shut your mind against. Right? Shut your mind against. Have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings. You know that only fosters strife. There's some good instructions for social media for the rest of your life. Right? That's some good instructions right there. Amen. Jesus always connected before he corrected. I love the story. You remember Luke 19, Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was. That's right. And this guy was a flaming sinner. And everybody knew it. And he climbed up in a tree. And Jesus connected with him relationally. Amen? Jesus connected with them relationally. There's two quotes that I want to give you today. The first is from Paul. Listen to it. Whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. So I recognize I can't get pulled into every argument with people. Amen? And I try to keep the door open as long as I can so that I can agree with what I can agree with so that I can bring them the most important message of all. I pray that you pray about who you're going to vote for, and not just in the top office this year, but in all the offices. I pray that you are informed. It's a wonderful thing to have the privilege to vote. I pray that you are informed by the word of God and by your own conscience what you should vote for and who you should vote for. But I'm here to tell you that you and I have got to learn how to divide some of these issues so that we can reach people for Jesus Christ. Listen to what John Maxwell said. I don't have to like them to reach them, but I do not have to be like them to reach them, but I do have to like them. I just ruined the whole quote. You know, that's what Christians say that all the time. I don't have to like them. Right? I don't have to like them. Well, you don't have to like what they do. You don't have to be like them. But you got to like them. You got to like people. When I look out and I just see some of the craziness, some of the just so open-minded, your brain leaks out logic of our world today. And I recognize it's not just politics. That's the weapon the devil's using. People are lost. People are lost today. They're lost today. Why do I want to get in a discussion with their head? And only the Holy Spirit can give me entrance with their heart. Can you say amen to that today? Amen? How to be a partner in the family business. Accept the personal responsibility. Develop a personal relationship. Number three, share your personal story. We don't tell them what they need to change up front. We tell them what God changed about us. We share our story, right? I love it how Peter said it. Listen. He said in 1 Peter, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. There it is again, a believer living with Jesus, respecting him, having the fear of God in his own heart, right? Revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Amen. And number four, give a personal invitation. Give a personal invitation. It used to be so much easier before COVID. You can just invite people to come to church. And you can rest assured that I would give them a chance to receive the Lord. And that's wonderful. And you can still do that. And what's wonderful is with people not coming to church, we have people that can come online and become a part of a small group online and connect with the gospel online. You can invite them to do that, right? You can invite them to do that. But more than that, you can invite them personally. You know what it takes to receive Jesus. Every believer ought to memorize the Romans Road. If you want to know what the Romans Road is, get your pen ready. Here's the Romans Road. Really simple. Amen. Romans 3:23. Write it down. Romans 3:23. You don't have to turn there. Romans 3:23. Take them to that. And you don't have to turn in your Bible. You can memorize it, right? Romans 6:23. Romans 3:23, right? It says the wages of sin is death, right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. And then write this one down. Romans 10:9-10. Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know it, and you can share it with them. Let's all stand together. And I want to tell you this closing statement. And I ask for your forgiveness today, because I know many of you have heard this story before, but it wasn't until I was preparing this message this week that the Holy Spirit really showed me where you were in the story. Where you were in the story. And I talk about how important the lost are in our membership and our growth tracks. I talk about how important, and of course today is Growth Track 3, and we're hoping many of you are going to stay and go to Growth Track 3 today. But you know, when my daughter was just 3 years old, matter of fact, she had turned 3 the day before, we were in Southern California at a Bible college. And I signed a permission slip that day for her to walk down about a quarter mile to a park with the whole group from the nursery. And that the leaders were going to walk them back, and they're going to have this little picnic, play on the stuff, and then go back. And when I went to pick my daughter up at the nursery afterwards, they couldn't find her. She never came back with them. And those two horrible thoughts come to your mind, especially when my wife ran back to the park. We noticed something we had never seen, that there was a canal bank on the back side of that. And we looked for Bethany in the water. She wasn't there. And I had to accept the reality, if she was there, she's floated somewhere, which brings in the second terror. She is nowhere between where we left and where we are, that she has been abducted. And you don't know what that is like for a parent unless you've gone through that. You can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. And God had already prepared us. It was amazing. That day we were being prayed for, because my pastor was sending us back here to pioneer this church the same day. And so some little lady behind my wife said, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but the Lord told me to tell you, he's already taken care of it. Don't even be afraid. Don't even worry about it. This is before we knew anything. And then we go and find out she's missing. But the thing that was interesting is the people, about 20 of them, that were still there, that found out with us that they were missing. And instantly, all 20 of them were everywhere we were. They were gripped with it. Not one of them said, well, you know, it's not my calling to find missing girls. You know, I feel really nervous about looking for missing girls. I've got to get to work. No one said that. Everybody was caught up. And it's so easy, as we go through our day in and day out, to forget that heaven and hell are real. That a forever with God is possible. And God doesn't want anyone to perish. It's more important than who gets elected this season. It's more important than anything else that happens. And God is looking for the church to bind together with him. Amen. To bind together with him and to make our passion the lost of this earth. That we would pray, let us be conformed into his image. And that we would speak and that we would share the most important message of all, that Jesus saves, that Jesus can save your marriage. Come on, somebody. That if you give God a chance, he can turn it around. He can melt. Come on, how many believe he can melt the hardest hearts? Come on, how many believe we still serve the God who does miracles? Can you say amen to that?
Thank you for listening. We trust this message has blessed your life. For more sermons by Pastor David Whaley, visit us at www.harvestlifechurch.org.